In the parsha that we're going to read on Shabbos, it's all about the Yomim Tovim, the Moyadei Hashem. And the Moyadei Hashem really represent the special relationship that the Klal Yisrael has with Hashem. Ato b'chartonu mikolo amim, shows us from all the nations, ohavto isonu v'rotziso bonu, He loved us, He desired us, He elevated us, beautiful things. It's about our relationship with Hashem. The problem that we have with that is that that's very remote. The relationship with Hashem, well, Hashem is there, all over, yeah, He's here, He's there, He's everywhere, but, you know, it's abstract to connect to. And what we have to be able to do is to connect to Hashem in a very real and tangible way. So, to that end, I'd like to tell you a story. That's all. Tell you a little story, and I'll be out of here, you'll be out of here, and we'll call it a day. A story that someone just called me yesterday and told me this story, but I think that it's significant to pay attention to, and I'd like to tell it from a certain perspective. The story as he told me, but put it in a different perspective. A friend of mine calls. He called to tell me about certain difficulties he was having in his business. But he tells me the following thing. That someplace in February, I think it was, this kid wakes up in the middle of the night. They hear an alarm or they hear something. And the kid wakes up, comes running. The house is flooded. Doesn't live in a flood zone, but a pipe burst. And a few rooms were like really flooded. A few inches of water. It was serious stuff. Very, very significant damage. Insurance companies are wonderful things. They take your money every month. But they fight with you about paying out when it happens, because their whole job is take the money and hopefully not have to pay out. So that's how they make money. Every time they have to make a big payment, they're losing money. So it's handling back and forth with his insurance company, and they agreed that they're going to fix everything. It was, you know, he has insurance. I guess he has a good policy that covers accident. Nobody did anything. It was nobody's fault. The pipe burst and covers all the damage. Fine. But insurance companies are notorious for taking their time till they deliver. They're busy, they're this, they're bureaucratic, I don't know what they are, but it takes a lot of time. So time went by, and here we are, it was the end of March already, very shortly before Pesach, and he's calling them and pushing them, and he says to them that that he has guests coming, has his children, his parents, his in-law, a house full of guests, and they're not getting the work done. He's not going to have a place to put them up. Now, this whole time, I can imagine, and he didn't describe it to me, but I can imagine a very distraught man, and I'm sure his wife was as well. So much damage in the house. So many rooms ruined. The insurance company is going to pay whenever they get around to it, to doing the work, or whatever they have to approve the work. I don't know how it works. But in the meantime, it's Erev Pesach. We have relatives coming. And the tension, the anxiety, the nervousness, the frustration. And in life, we have many such situations. And when we look at those situations, we really sometimes think, we look up, or down, or around, or wherever, and we say, you know, why do you have to put me through this? Why do I need this tension? Where's that special relationship that we have, that you love me, that you care about me, that you chose us, mikolo amim, ohavto isonu v'rotziso bonu? This is how you show your love? This is how you show your desire for me to be close to me? And I'm sure, I don't know, but I'm sure these thoughts go through our minds every time that we're tested, every time that we're challenged, every time that we get frustrated at the difficulties and the obstacles and the let's call them the bad things that happen to us good people. He proceeds to tell me what happened. The insurance company finally, under his coaxing and pressure that the whole family is coming, they got 20 people, I don't know what, and they have no place to put them up, we'll put you up in a hotel. And we will transport you, this is the language they used, to your festive meals. We'll have you driven to your festive meals. Well, he tells them, unfortunately, we can't be driven to our festive meals, because on the days of the festive meals, we're not permitted to drive.
Well, someone else is driving?
Well, no, they're not supposed to get someone else driving. We can't, it's Yom Tov, we can't do it. So what do? I said, okay, we have no choice. They put them up, they sent them, I think, out of town or even out of the country. I'm not sure exactly where the program was. I didn't get all the details. To a Pesach program. The whole family. The guy told me the bill must have been around $80,000 covered by the insurance company. That's besides the work that they're doing to fix the house. Not bad. Not bad. Okay. Something. So already he begins to see that what appeared on the surface, and it was literally on the surface of the house was flooded with 2 inches of water, all of a sudden he begins to see underneath the water some very interesting design. We're not going to have the family here for Pesach. We can't have them here for Pesach. And someone else is going to pick up the tab of $80,000 to have our family in a hotel with a Pesach program. Okay, they're going to the Pesach program. They have to fly. They're in LAX, this happened to be. And that's Los Angeles International Airport. And they're ready to fly. The different, whatever it is, it's a whole, whole group. They have one line, another line. They're all going together. And lo and behold, they discover, his in-laws discover, and they live in a different country, that they don't have their passports. That doesn't work today. Years ago, you didn't have to show any ID. Then you could show something, anything, whatever. Today, they're very strict. They're very tough. The laws are getting tighter. The procedures are getting tighter. The world is getting, much more of a dangerous place. And it was before Pesach, and they had to go, and they couldn't get, and the flights were, I think there was some kind of a problem with the airline, so that there were too many, they were backlogged, and if they don't go now, it's not going to happen. So here's this whole beautiful Pesach plan with the in-laws, no less, not even going to be able to go. So they decide they're going to push their way through, they're going to see what they could do, they go to this TSA, they're going to line up by the TSA thing there, whatever you call it, and they're going to see what they could do. Sometimes, it used to be, they would search you well and let you go, but today it doesn't work that way. And this guy is standing on line there with his in-laws already trying to help them. And as they get up to the agents, Victor! Who's Victor? Victor is a man who works for this man as a manager in one of his buildings. A guy that's been working him for 8 years. A good friend of his, an employee of his, an associate of his. Victor! He's the TSA man. He has a problem. Of course, Victor was very happy to take care of them. And, some perfunctory search just to pretend to go through the motions. And everybody got on the plane on time. Now, when you think about it, first of all, then he told me, he asked Victor a question. He said, Victor, I travel a lot here. And I never met you before. I travel and I go travel a lot, fly a lot, and I never met you. I didn't even know you work here. How many employees are there in the work for the PSA in this position in LAX? Victor tells him 3,000. 3,000 people in that job. This man is constantly a frequent flyer, frequent traveler. He has business up north in California, what have you. Never once saw Victor. All of a sudden, when he needed him the most, and when he probably couldn't have gotten along any other way without him, sure enough, Victor appears. Now, I think there's two lessons that we see from this whole incident. Number one, we have to see that in life, Hashem is involved in our lives, actively involved in His relationship with us in ways that just require us to open our eyes. Open your eyes and see who's standing by the TSA counter. It's none other than Victor, friend Victor. Ooh, just the ability to see it. What a chesed. What a miracle. 3,000 employees working at LAX for the TSA. And of all the people to be there just at the time when you need him, never to be seen before by this guy, Victor is there to help. Hashem deals with us in wonderful ways. And not to mention what it means to go away for a whole family for Pesach with 80,000 or so tab when they never expected to do it, when they maybe couldn't even afford it, I don't know. And unbelievable. Hashem is involved in the details of our lives in a way that only requires us opening our eyes to see it. But there's something else here, another lesson that's very, very important. And that is, when we see difficulty, when we see pain, when we see obstacles, when we see problems, when we see frustrations, like my whole house being flooded in the middle of the night, thousands of dollars worth of damage, the inability to use the house, the insurance company refusing to move on it, and it's Erev Pesach, and here Erev Pesach, and all the guests are coming, and I have no place to put them up. And all of a sudden, I begin to realize this is all part of a design. This is no accident that the pipe burst. Look what that pipe must have had in mind. And the pipe doesn't have a mind. But look at the burster of the pipe had in mind. This poor family, not poor, but this family, you know, hey, they need a good Pesach vacation. Let's do it on the insurance company's bill. And then they're a little negligent. The in-laws, maybe they're getting a little old. I don't know what the story is, but they forget their passports. No problem. I'm not only going to help them to this wonderful vacation, I'm going to show them my hand in a very loving way. That of the 3,000 employees that work in LAX, out of the hundreds of times that this individual who has been flying and he never knew and never met this one individual, Victor, his employee, his friend, his associate, is standing right there to help them through, even though they forgot their passports. So I think that we have to, number one, open our eyes, see Hashem's active role in His relationship with us. The Atova Chartonu Mikolo Amim or Havto Isonu V'Latsi Sabonu is not words in the Shmoneh Esrei, is not a song that we might sing. It's an ultimate reality. Look at the way Hashem conducts Himself with us. But more than that, when things are going rough and we see that it's just overwhelming, look, such a thing, how could it happen? Erev Pesach, oh, look, you know, hang in there and realize that everything is part of a plan and always to do good. Now, sometimes we're zeicha to see the good 2 weeks later or 2 months later. Sometimes we're not zeicha to see the good until years later. Sometimes we may even have to wait beyond this world to see the good. But once we see so much design and good and apparent seemingly difficulty and maybe even tragedy and trouble and terrible things happening, and yet we've witnessed how in reality it was all part of a plan and a system to bring about good, that can give us the strength to look for this, to be aware of this, to believe in this, to know this, and hopefully eventually to be zeicha to see it. So I just wanted to share that with you, and I think that when we think about, we're close to another Yom Tov Shavuos, when we think about the Yom Tovim, And when we think about the Atoba Chartonu, and when we think about the special relationship that exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should realize that if we open our eyes and we pay attention, we can see, we can feel, we can experience, and we can sometimes even understand the reality and the depth of involvement and caring that exists in that relationship.